Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung here in Scroon Lake, New York. That's high, high, high up in the Adirondack Mountains of New York State. It is beautiful up here. And, of course, this is the international headquarters for an organization called Word of Life. If you've listened to our broadcast very long at all, you know that I travel around the world to Word of Life locations, Bible institutes, camps, conferences, etc. Well, we've been up here in this last week. We had a conference at Scroon Lake at Word of Life. I was teaching the letters to the seven churches of Asia Minor as found in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Boy, we have had a blessed time in the Word of God, and the people were so receptive to teaching the Word of God. We'll be up here for another week. Next week, we'll be down in Maryland, but it's been a joy to be able to teach the Word of God. May I tell you, we're going to go just a little bit farther up north. We're going to Westport, New York for this weekend. If you're in the listening area, please note this. We're going to be at Westport Bible Church. We'll be there all day Sunday, a prophecy conference in one day. We'll have a 9:30 service and then a 10:30 service, and guess what they're going to do? They're going to have a dinner on the grounds, a potluck lunch, and we're going to have prophecy Q&A. That's starting to be something that's being repeated all across where we have been preaching. I love that type of thing. We first have a great meal and then prophecy Q&A, two of my favorite things to do. And then at 5:30, we'll have a meeting at the Westport Bible Church. That's at 24 Youngs Road in Westport, New York. Come join us if you would, and let's study Bible prophecy in days like never before in the history of this world. Well, we're going to start the broadcast today. All of our broadcast partners are standing by, and we'll be talking with Dr. John Whitcomb. We're going to be talking about dinosaurs. The BBC, British Broadcasting Corporation, just mentioned the fact that indeed dinosaurs were destroyed by an asteroid. Well, we'll ask the expert. He's a biblist. He wrote the book, The Genesis Flood. He has some great insight. Dr. Charlie Dyer, this man has been twice to Babylon. I'm talking about the literal city of Babylon. These are some of the interviews we're going to have. Keep the dial set right where it is. But now we go to the geopolitical activities, and the man who handles that for us is Ken Timmerman in the Washington, D.C. area. He's not actually in Washington, D.C. today. He's in South Carolina. And you might look for a advertisement about Ken coming to your town. He's on a book tour promoting his brand new book, Dark Forces, and really what happened in Benghazi when four of our citizens were killed by the riots, the terrorist activities that took place there. And the first question, Ken, that I'm going to have for you, I understand this week the United States Embassy staff was evacuated there at the embassy in Libya. Now, you probably know a lot about this with your background study for your book in preparation to write it. What happened in Benghazi is seemingly about to maybe be repeated and happen again. Talk to me about this story.
The major difference between what's happening today in Libya and what happened on September 11th, 2012, is that this time the State Department saw the warning signs and got our people out in time before they were attacked. You know, I'd been talking, Jimmy, to some people who had been on the ground recently at the embassy, people who were keyed into the security there and the various security procedures, who were warning a couple of weeks ago that the lack of security at the U.S. Embassy in Tripoli, Libya, was a disaster waiting to happen. That was the term that they used. Luckily, Secretary Kerry actually listened to his security officials, something that Hillary Clinton did not, and Secretary Kerry ordered the evacuation of the U.S. Embassy in Tripoli. One sadly ironic note on this, we're told that as the convoy of U.S. diplomats and their dependents left Tripoli, headed to the west for Tunisia, they had air cover provided by U.S. F-16s overhead. You've probably heard stories, and our listeners have heard stories, asking why there were no F-16s flying over Benghazi during the attacks there. And the military said, well, we couldn't get them there in time. Well, guess what? When the State Department asked for those assets, the military was able to get them there on time.
Ken, you go in detail with what really did happen at Benghazi in your book. How are the sales of the book going?
It's going fairly well, Jimmy. It would be great if some of our listeners decided to take some time, call into Sean Hannity's show or send an email to Megyn Kelly or to Bill O'Reilly on Fox News and ask them to have me on to talk about what really happened in Benghazi. There's some breaking news stories in my book that Fox News hasn't yet gotten to, and it would be great to see them pick those up.
That's a great idea, folks. Those eavesdropping on the conversation, get on those phones and let's call Fox News. Well, let's continue our time together in conversation about geopolitical activities, Ken. Ayatollah Ali Khamenei has repeated the insult, calling Israel rabid dogs, an insult that is helping them to position themselves as supporters of Hamas. In fact, they're sending a lot of the weaponry in there. That's only a commentary on who Iran really is.
And not just who they are, but how confident they feel today that no one is going to challenge their actions. He's essentially throwing down the gauntlet to the Saudis, throwing down the gauntlet to the United States, throwing down the gauntlet to Israel, and saying, we are going to arm Hamas, we're going to continue to arm Hamas, and we are going to collect aid for Hamas from all over the Muslim world, and stop us if you can.
Wow, that is a tough situation. We need to keep an eye on that. Let's talk about ISIS. They're there in Iraq. They have established a caliphate as such. Whether that's going to develop, we're not quite sure. But one thing they are doing is destroying biblical prophetic sites, like the grave site and the tomb of Jonah and also Daniel. Is this a part of ISIS's plan in order to be able to destroy Christianity in the Middle East and then move ahead with their caliphate?
Yes, it is, Jimmy, and I fear where they will be going next. There's very little holding them back from the Nineveh Plain, which is the historic homeland of the Christians. You know, we learned this past week that for the first time in 1,600 years, Mass was not said in Mosul. Mosul, which is Nineveh, the ancient capital of the Assyrian Christians. They have been driven out. The churches have been shut down. They've been firebombed. Christians have been threatened with death if they did not pay the jizya, the protection tax, in northern Iraq to ISIS. And so they have simply fled. And I fear that this will continue. There's been no pushback from the United States. And that's really what this is all about. It's the same thing with Khamenei in Iran, Jimmy, is that ISIS and the Iranian regime do not fear the United States of America. They believe, as Khomeini said right at the beginning of the Islamic Revolution, 1979, they believe that America can do nothing.
Well, that is probably the truth, to tell you the bottom line as far as that situation is concerned. Talking about ISIS, there have surfaced some maps of what they may be setting in place to capture the entire Middle East, and these maps seem to include Saudi Arabia. Could ISIS have in mind the conquest of Saudi Arabia as their next move?
This is extremely disturbing, and what we're finding from groups such as Vocative that monitor Twitter feeds and social media in Arabic is that there's an increasing number of posts to social media from inside Saudi Arabia in support of ISIS. We're seeing photographs posted of Saudi military officers, their faces concealed, but holding up signs in favor of ISIS, and thousands of tweets from inside Saudi Arabia saying that ISIS is coming to Saudi. We know that wealthy Saudi families have been supporting them. We know that the government of Saudi Arabia is desperate to keep this from happening. They are not friends of ISIS. They're trying to oppose them in Iraq. And you're seeing what's kind of interesting here. This is something that's developed out of the Benghazi story. It's developed out of the overthrow of the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt by General al-Sisi. The United States seems to have taken the side of the most radical of the Muslim groups throughout the Middle East. We are supporting not only the Muslim Brotherhood, but we have been talking to Turkey and to Qatar most recently to broker some kind of ridiculous and ineffective ceasefire in Gaza. The Saudis, who used to be doing this, have actually pulled back, because they themselves feel vulnerable from these more radical jihadi groups. And that, I think, is a dynamic that's going to be interesting to watch in the coming month.
Now, you've talked about Turkey. Let me ask you about this news story I see coming out of the Middle East. An Islamic State fighter, ISIS has been changed now to the Islamic State. One of the fighters with al-Baghdadi said that Turkey paved the way for their forces to start to build this Islamic State. What do you know about that story?
Well, that's right, and that's a very important element for people to look into. I write about that in Dark Forces, my book about Benghazi. The Turks were right on the front lines in helping get weapons from Libya and elsewhere to the Syrian rebels. And this was at a time when the Syrian rebels were dominated by the most radical factions. You know, Turkey used to be an ally of Israel, used to be, and it, on paper, still is an ally of the United States, and yet they are now themselves operating as an Islamist state. Not an Islamic state, but an Islamist state. This is extremely dangerous. They've been supporting the most radical of the jihadi groups. And what this fighter tells a left-wing Turkish reporter ought to be turning some heads, I would hope, in the rest of Europe as Turkey tries to join Europe and tries to reclaim its position inside the NATO alliance.
It's very interesting to note the background of the man who was the prime minister of Turkey, Erdogan, was the mayor of Istanbul. He was put out of there because of his Islamic beliefs. He looks like he's moving in a direction to try to become, as his desire is, the pan-Islamic leader of the world. We'll stay on top of that story because Ken Timmerman recognizes how important it is as well. Be sure to go to Amazon.com or KenTimmerman.com and get your purchase of Ken's book, The Real Story Behind the Benghazi Thing, Dark Forces is the name of it. And Ken, thank you so much for your input. We see how everything is playing together. You've got the overall big picture. It's good to have you along to help us understand what's going on. Thank you so much. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, Jimmy, and God bless.
We're going to take a break right now here on Prophecy Today. After about a two-minute break for some very interesting information, we'll have a Middle East news update with David Dolan. That's all ahead right here on Prophecy Today.